Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, July 17th, 2025. We'll start with a story titled Crisis in the Heartland. Rural hospitals face closure under Medicaid cuts. OSF Hoopston Hospital on the list. And this is written by Christian M. Wade of the CNHI News. More than 60 million Americans get health care from rural hospitals, which in many states can be the lifeblood of a community. They are not only the primary source of emergency, preventive, and specialized care, but also jobs and much-needed tax revenue. Now, President Donald Trump's newly minted domestic policy bill could force closures and deep cuts in care at rural hospitals, which are already struggling to stay afloat amid razor-thin operating margins and other financial stress, according to lawmakers, hospital groups, and healthcare experts. The legislation called the One Big Beautiful Bill Act extends Trump's 2017 tax cuts and implements his agenda to improve border security, cut taxes, and slash government spending. Trump's bill cleared the House of Representatives and Senate and was signed into law by the Republican president at a glitzy White House ceremony that included a B-2 bomber flyover on Independence Day, July 4th. With a price tag of nearly $4 trillion, the plan calls for deep cuts to clean energy programs, food assistance, and Medicare and Medicaid, potentially removing millions of Americans from the federally backed health insurance programs. Cuts to Medicaid spending alone could add up to $1 trillion over the next decade. Many Americans may not immediately feel the pinch because GOP lawmakers opted to delay most of health care cuts until after the November 2026 midterm elections. But health care industry officials say the federal government's cost-cutting will ultimately have a crippling impact on the nation's rural hospitals, which were already in crisis mode over labor shortages, rising medical costs, declining reimbursements from private insurers, and other financial pressures. Despite months of clearly demonstrating the implications that these Medicaid proposals will have on the patients and the communities we serve, especially the most vulnerable populations, Congress has enacted cuts of nearly $1 trillion to the Medicaid program, said Rick Pollack, president and CEO of the American Hospital Association. The real-life consequences of these reductions will negatively impact access to care for all Americans. Cuts will slam rural hospitals. Nearly half of all America's rural hospitals are operating on negative margins, recent studies have shown. Hundreds are at risk of closure. Rural hospitals are heavily reliant on Medicaid, which is jointly funded by the federal government and states. States cover upfront costs of care and are reimbursed by the federal government for at least 50% of the costs. Akisha Coleman, Senior Program Officer for Medicaid at the Commonwealth Fund, a New York-based public interest group, said rural and safety net hospitals in cities that serve disproportionate numbers of Medicaid patients generally operate on a string. That means that they have less wiggle room with costs suddenly increase, she said, or if there is a dramatic change in the number of insured patients, as could happen with Trump's bill. Rural hospitals rely heavily on Medicaid funding because they typically serve a higher share of low-income patients. It puts additional financial pressures on facilities, and it makes it harder for them to keep the doors open, Coleman said. Trump's bill includes nearly $1 trillion in cuts to Medicaid, mostly through work requirements, as well as a change to how states are able to help fund their program, known as the private tax. That could mean millions of people who are insured by the program could suddenly find themselves without health care coverage. And for rural hospitals already at risk of closure, that could be a tipping point, Coleman said. There are a significant number of people who will be losing marketplace coverage, and not all of them will be able to transition to other types of insurance coverage, she said. So there's a very real chance that rural hospitals and even some safety net hospitals in urban areas could close. Trump's bill does include a $50 billion safety net fund for rural hospitals. Those funds will be distributed by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services over 5 years, but experts say that won't be far enough to offset the impact of the cuts. The average rural hospitals are slated to lose 21 cents out of every dollar they receive in Medicaid funding under the bill, according to a recent report by the Rural Health Association and Manette Health. Total cuts in Medicaid reimbursement for rural hospitals, including both federal and state funds, over the 10-year period covered by the bill, would reach almost $70 billion for hospitals in rural areas, the report's author says. The proposed changes to Medicaid will result in significant coverage losses, reduce access to care for rural patients, and threaten the viability of rural facilities, said Alan Morgan, CEO of the National Rural Health Association. It's very clear that Medicaid cuts will result in rural hospital closures, resulting in loss of access to care for those living in rural America. No state unscathed. Nationwide, more than 330 at-risk hospitals in a small handful of states face closure under Trump's bill, according to a report by the Cecil G. Shepps Center for Health Services Research at the University of North Carolina, commissioned by a group of Democratic lawmakers. Kentucky could lose up to $28 billion of federal funding for the program over the next 10 years, and there are 35 rural hospitals at risk of closing, the highest number in the nation, the report's author says. Texas has 15 rural hospitals at risk of closing, while New York has 11, according to the report. Indiana has 12 rural hospitals on the list, and Ohio has 11. One in every four residents relies on Medicaid. In Oklahoma, where nearly one in four residents rely on Medicaid, rural hospitals across the state are bracing for deep cuts and job reductions and delaying new services and health care expansions on hold in anticipation that the Medicaid cuts could become law. The Shepps Center report shows that at least 21 rural hospitals in the state could be forced to close as a result of the Medicaid cuts being considered by Congress. You can take $600 million out of our system and not have there be pain in all four corners of our state, said Rich Rasmussen, president and CEO of the Oklahoma Hospital Association. These cuts are going to have a devastating impact on our hospitals. The Health Policy Research Group, KFF, estimates that the legislation will lead to about $17 million people losing coverage due to the changes in Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act. In some states, like New Hampshire, Indiana, and North Carolina, the concern about the impact federal Medicaid cuts is twofold. These states have so-called trigger laws mandating that if federal funding for expanded Medicaid programs falls below 90%, the state will revoke its portion of the funding, which could leave millions more people without health insurance. Small rural hospitals are often responsible for delivering most of the health care services for people living in the communities they serve, including long-term care and primary care. In some cases, they can be the only source of emergency and specialized care, like the obstetrics and mental health services. But rural hospitals also tend to be the largest employers in the community, providing good-paying jobs and supporting the local tax base. So if you lose the ability for that community to hold on to them, you lose their tax base, you lose their ability to pay for their homes, Rasmussen said. It has a ripple effect. Next story is titled, Hometown Scholars. Schlarman Academy graduate Teresa Law joins prestigious group. And there's a picture of Schlarman graduate Teresa Law, winner of the 2025 PEO Star Scholarship. Law beat out thousands of other applicants in the international search for high school seniors who demonstrate outstanding leadership, academic achievement, community service, and commitment to the to extracurriculars. This is written by Kegla White. When recent high school graduate Teresa Law learned that she had been named the 2025 Star Scholarship, a scholarship given to one high school senior every year by a local branch of philanthropic education organization known as PEO Sisterhood. She was surprised, to say the least. I didn't expect to be chosen for this scholarship, so it was a surprise that left me in a good mood for the day for days, she said. The Star Scholarship, which was established in 2009, is awarded to only one young woman every year out of thousands across the United States and Canada who apply. For one young woman who displays excellence in leadership, academics, extracurricular activities, community service, and potential for future success. The PEO Sisterhood is a United States-based international women's organization with nearly 200,000 members. Their primary focus is on providing educational opportunities to young women worldwide by motivating, educating, and celebrating from the KE chapter of the PEO, one of three local chapters worldwide, by motivating, educating, and celebrating them. The KE chapter of the PEO, one of the three local chapters, works hard to ensure that Vermilion County girls have a fair chance. So much so, in fact, that seven of the last nine winners came from this area. Law joins previous winners Grace Church from Salt Fork High School, Zoe Camel from SFHS, Farrah Anderson from Slarman, 2019 graduate from Oakwood High School. She graduated from the University of Illinois later, earning a degree in public health from Brown University. Cameron Hinkle, 2018 graduate of Salt Fork High School, went to graduate from Loyola University in Chicago with a degree in psychology and social work. She later received a master's degree from Erickson Institute and now works as a child psychotherapist and licensed social worker. The scholarship process begins with nominations from guidance counselors, according to committee chair Judy Steffen. With many schools having to find a new guidance counselor every year, it can be hard for some to keep track of all the young women in the senior class, especially since it's so early in the year, Steffen said. Once a student is nominated by their guidance counselor, they meet the Star Scholarship Committee for an interview. If they are chosen to move forward, they get to work putting together a 700-word essay, which is due by October. One hurdle Steffen believes helps to separate the wheat from the chaff, so to speak. By that point in the year, these kids don't know they're seniors yet, she said, and to look past graduation at what they're going to do and where they're going takes a girl who's planned before they walk into the high school on what their plan is. For Law, the application process was nerve-wracking. I was anxious about the interview with the PEO sisters for the longest time, as well as writing the scholarship essay, she said. Despite the fact that she graduated from high school with an associate's degree from Danville Area Community College under her belt, Law said she still felt nervous. Thankfully, she had Steffen's support and guidance to rely on. Writing was never my passion, but Judy Steffen frequently called me to give suggestions and recommendations, Law said. Her help was fundamental to me receiving the scholarship. Farrah Anderson, winner of the 2020 PEO. The way that they write this is not right here. Farrah Anderson, winner of the 2020 PEO Star Scholarship, a graduate of Slarman Academy. Anderson went to the graduate. To graduate from University of Illinois with a degree in journalism. She works now as an investigative journalist in Chicago. Her work has been published by the New York Times, National Public Radio, and public media stations throughout the Midwest. a 2022 graduate of Salt Fork High School, Grace Church went on to graduate from Purdue University with a degree in animal science. She has been accepted to the veterinary medicine department at the University of Illinois. In the end, it was Law's personality, she believes, that helped her to win the scholarship. To this day, I think being myself was the most significant aspect of the application. My essay and my extracurriculars felt weak, but I tried my hardest to show my personality in every sentence, she said. Law was awarded a $2,500 scholarship, which she plans to use this fall at Indiana State University, where she will be majoring in chemistry and biology. Even though the process is done, Stephen said the organization will continue to support Law like all star scholarship winners. Once we choose someone, they are our baby, Stephen said. So we invite their mother and them to come and have lunch with us. We send them goodie bags every month in college, and then we have them come back and report to us. So we keep in touch with them. For young women looking at the prospect of starting their senior year of high school in a matter of weeks, Law said her best advice is to take advantage of every opportunity that arises and to work hard. Go to as many school events as you can, or enroll in the challenging classes everyone warns you of. Don't be scared of trying new things, because your younger years are the only times we will have a safety net, Law said. Hard work never fails to pay off, and this award is proof of it. Still, though, she advises them to remember to have fun. Go out with your friends at midnight and then go apply to your dream school, she said. To learn more about PEO or apply to become a member, check out peointernational.org. Okay, we'll run through the obituaries. Martha A. Payne of Westville passed away on July 14th at Pleasant Meadows Senior Living Facility in Chrisman. A funeral service celebrating Martha's life will be held on Monday, July 21st from 10 to 11 at Sunset Funeral Home Urbis Kent Chapel, located at 414 South State Street in Westville. A visitation will take place prior to the service from 10 to 11 a.m. also at the funeral home. Father Deuce will be conducting the service. She will be laid to rest next to her son and husband at Resurrection Catholic Cemetery, and following services on Monday. And Robert Bob J. Troglia, 83, of Danville, passed away at 12:10 a.m. on Friday, July 11th at Accolade Healthcare of Danville. A memorial service to celebrate the life of Bob will be held at 2 p.m. on Monday, July 21st at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Interment will follow at Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Visitation will be held from 1 to 2 p.m. prior to the service on Monday, also at the funeral home. Memorials in Bob's name may be made to the American Legion, Post 210. Next story is titled, Aunt B, Miss Maisie, Provide Comfort, Joy to All Ages. And this is written by Amy Graham McCarty. For Linda Darby, there is no greater joy than bringing love to people in need, and she has the perfect co-workers to help her. Darby's dogs, Aunt Bee and Miss Maisie, are comfort animals that join her at Sunset Funeral Home. The Minnie Doodle and Berna Doodle offer help and healing to those going through some of the most difficult times in their lives. Aunt Bee and Miss Maisie went through 6 months of special training before officially joining Darby at the funeral home, where they meet with families and children who are hurting. The dogs also attend morning staff meetings and they have their own spot on the staff page of the funeral home. I had been waiting to have a comfort dog and had been doing research, Darby said. At the time, I had a Yorkie dog at the home and that passed away. I thought maybe God was telling me I should be doing this. When they are brought out, it takes the sadness people are feeling and displaces it for a short time, Darby said. The sadness is replaced with love. All ages loved the dogs. Aunt Bee and Miss Maisie are especially comforting for younger kids, Darby said, who may need a break from heavy experience. It is a way to get kids away from the visitation for a while to help spend time with the dogs. It's just a way to break the ice and love on people, Darby said. We all need love, and they provide a lot of it. Darby said they ask families who come to the funeral home if they are pet-friendly and would like the dogs to come out and visit. If they do not want them out, we respect that and keep them away. The funeral home is not the only place Aunt Bee and Miss Maisie provide comfort. Darby also takes them to the area schools. Bee even has her own email where children can send her notes and questions. We don't want children to be fearful of death, Darby said. Aunt Bee and Miss Maisie are a way to engage kids. We have a children's program here. The dogs also visit hospitals and nursing homes all the time, all with the same task, to love the people they meet. It's a fun way to bring joy and love to people in a world that so badly needs it, Darby said. Aunt Bee and Miss Maisie's jobs are to love on people. Isn't that a great job to have? Next story, parking assistance available at Park Carl Foundation Hospital. And this is written by a staff reporter in Urbana. A new guest assistance service will be available at Carl Foundation Hospital for those parking in the North Garage on Orchard Street or on the South Garage on McCullough Avenue beginning July 21st. This free ADA-accessible wheelchair transport service will ensure safe travel for patients and visitors in need of assistance before and after an appointment, a news release states. To use the service, visitors will need to park in the North or South garages and call the number assigned to each garage once they have arrived. When requesting assistance, visitors will provide their location to a team member who will come to them with a wheelchair to assist them from their vehicle to the hospital. Each garage will have an ADA designated section with numbered spaces. Visitors needing support are encouraged to park at these spaces and provide their assigned number when calling to help locate them within the garage. This service is available to anyone who needs support traveling from the vehicle to the hospital doors, even if they do not park in the ADA-designated sections of the garages or have a handicap placard in their vehicle. Carl Health is committed to supporting patients and visitors and reaching their appointment locations on time, Elizabeth Angelo said. DNP, Carl Foundation Hospital President, said, as we implement these changes at Carl Foundation Hospital, we aim to improve access and experience for patients and guests visiting our Urbana campus. Visitors needing further support can use the transportation service available throughout the hospital to reach your appointment location. Visitors can also use the guest assistance service at their appointment for assistance in returning to their parking space. We continually evaluate our facilities and consider the best way to support team members and patient care. Emily Lyons, Director, Hospital Medicine and Support Services, Carl Foundation Hospital, said. These developments aim to improve our collaborative environment, focusing on excellence while creating a welcoming campus for all. The guest assistance service will be available Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. On July 14th, new parking gates and pay stations will be installed inside the hospital building, according to building, parking, garages, and at each hospital parking lot. Those updates are part of ongoing maintenance efforts of Carl Foundation Hospital and should create minimal disruptions for parking availability and flow of traffic. Visitors can pay by card at the gates or by cash at several pay stations within the hospital building. The new guest assistance service will replace previous valet parking services after July 21st. Visitors can use the Circle Drive on Orchard Street to drop off and pick up patients from the main entrance of the hospital. A free ADA-accessible shuttle bus is also available to transport visitors from the fairgrounds parking lot to the main entrance or south clinic entrance. This shuttle currently operates from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday. Operations will change to a 24-hour service on July 28th. For more information about available parking resources at Carl, visit carl.org. Next, St. Joe Library to host Book Self in St. Joe. The St. Joe Township Swearingen Memorial Library at 201 North 3rd Street in St. Joe will have a summer used book sale in August. The book sale will begin August 4th and ends August 27th. All items for sale by donation. There will be adult fiction, nonfiction, mystery, science fiction, horror, romance, adventure, biography, crafts, and cookbooks, as well as children's fiction, nonfiction, and picture books. There also may be DVDs, music CDs, audio books, and large print books. Please call to set up a time to bring in donations for the book sale. No donations of items will be accepted after August 15th. For more information, call 217-469-2159. The sale will be run normal library hours, which are Mondays 1 to 8, Tuesday 9 to 6, Wednesday 1 to 6, Thursday 9 to 6, Friday 9 to 5, and Saturday 9 to 1. The library is closed on Sundays. And next, Faraci to host fraud seminar. State Senator Paul Faraci is hosting a senior fraud seminar in Vermilion and Champaign County on July 18th. The Vermilion County event is at Chris Healthy Aging at 10 a.m. at 309 North Franklin Street in Champaign County. It will take place at Chris Healthy Aging, located at 4116 Fieldstone Road, Champaign, at 1 p.m. Attendees will learn how they can protect themselves, their friends, and families from scam artists, fraudulent businesses, identity theft, and phone spoofing. Senator Faraci will also discuss how to check one's credit report and file a consumer fraud complaint. Seating is limited. Make reservations for either location by calling 217-443-2999. For more information about Chris Healthy Aging, visit chrishealthyaging.org. Okay, we'll run through the community briefs. Farmland assessment meeting planned for in accordance with the Illinois Property Tax Code 35 ILCS 200-10-120. A public hearing on the certified farmland values for 2025 will be held today at 8:30 a.m. in room 320, Board of Review Room of the Joseph G. Cannon Building at 201 North Vermilion Street. At the conclusion of the public hearing and after a short break, the Vermilion County Farmland Assessment Review Committee will have its mandated annual meeting in the same location at 8:45 a.m. Fish fry set for July 18th. The VFW Post 2395 Auxiliary announces its third Friday fish fry will be on July 18th at the post located at 1212 Liberty Street in Covington, Indiana. Serving time is from 5 to 7 Eastern Time. The menu includes fish, fries, baked beans, and coleslaw. Cost is $15 for public and $12 for veterans, and all dinners are dine-in or carry-out. Monies are used to support community projects and operating costs of the post. And Wander Junction VBS planned. Danville First Nazarene Church will have its annual VBS from Sunday, July 20th through Thursday, July 24th at the church at 2214 North Vermilion Street. The fun begins each evening at 5:30 p.m. and goes until 8 p.m. Children will take a journey through the Old West as they learn about who Jesus is, marvel at his birth, his childhood, his ministry, his death, and his resurrection, and his coming return. The fun includes arts and crafts, singing, recreation, snack, and more. To register, visit dfcnaz.churchcenter.com/registrations/events/2880749. So that'll be it for today, Thursday, July 17th, 2025. Looks like it's going to be a really hot week next week during the Champaign County Fair, so make sure you drink lots of water and stay in cool when you can. hope you all have a good week, and hopefully I'll see you again next week. Take care. Bye.